Yes. So I would open it up for your questions and discussion.
Well, let's go talk through each one, if we could. Just go through them line by line, starting with the issue of the transient surge analysis, and then we want to add additional things that after we get through these, by all means we can. Or if we run out of time, we can set another work session. So the transient surge analysis, I'm just, from my perspective, the surge analysis was, and the discussion about it was probably the most significant issue from my perspective during the hearing, outside of, you know, the issues surrounding the actual site where the pump station is going to be located. And I felt that there was a really good discussion between the experts on both sides on the whole issue of the surge analysis and why a surge is problematic, what the company has done to evaluate these risks and mitigate the issues related to them. And for me, it really came down to three things. So the company has performed the surge analysis. They, on the higher operating pressure, on the higher volumes, they've hired an expert, a recognized national expert, on the whole issue of surge, and have testified under oath that they're going to follow the recommendations of that expert. And they, and ultimately, the surge in these issues are enforced, and they're managed by PHMSA. The requirements for them are established by PHMSA and enforced by PHMSA. So I feel like, from my perspective, the record is really thorough as it stands on this issue. And I don't need to see the surge. I don't feel like we need to see the surge analysis in following and keeping with how we typically do things. We frequently require companies to make sure they've done the information or done the analysis. And if they are testifying under oath and providing certification in the order or whatever, that they're going to follow the recommendations of these experts. And these are enforced by another agency, that's typically the standard that satisfies us. And I think in this case it does, from my perspective. The one thing that I will add is that the company testified that it's operating. PHMSA requires that they never exceed 110% of the maximum operating pressure in a surge. And the company testified multiple times that they are establishing their protocols to not exceed 105% of the operating pressure, which allows for another 5% kind of barrier or, you know, extra protection in the case of a surge, even above and beyond what PHMSA requires. So I felt that provided another additional level of comfort and conservative planning that should further address this issue and ensure that it's not a problem in North Dakota.
Zach, I have an overarching question, not just on the surge analysis, but the hydraulic profiling. For example, and I'm jumping ahead, but this question applies to everything. The State Water Commission reviews that type of thing. They oversee that type of thing. And then we, you know, surge analysis, PHMSA, et cetera. So I'm trying to think of how to frame this up. It's important that we stay in our own lane from a regulatory standpoint, because I think the impression that may be given at times that we're just not looking at these things. We're making sure they are being looked at by the appropriate agencies, and that that analysis is thorough because they have the experts in each respective area. So at what point do we weave that into the order, for example, and make that a part of the order, when ultimately we may not have statutory authority in some of these areas? That's the biggest thing I'm grappling with is, and grappling probably isn't, you know, it might be a little bit strong, but it's the biggest question I have in terms of how do we weave these different issues, knowing, for example, that because I wanted, okay, so who looks at hydraulic profiling, example, and I did the research on that and actually made some calls, and it's the State Water Commission, and they feel that it's where it needs to be. How do we work that into our process?
So as I understand your question, Commissioner, if we were to require the company to provide the documentation, there's the potential for a challenge to that requirement, right? So that's one aspect of the answer to your question, I think. As to your point, though, as to other agencies that are tasked specifically with evaluating these various topics that we're talking about, surge analysis, facility response plan, hydraulic profiling, we've received testimony on that from company officials, from company experts. We've received testimony from the intervener that differs. Ultimately, a decision based on the information provided to you has to be made. You can make a decision that what has been provided to the commission is adequate and meets the requirements that are issued in our notice. You know, paraphrase, there's, you know, three requirements, and you know, the chief one that we're one of the primary components of that notice is, will there be a minimal adverse impact on the health on the welfare of the citizens of the state and the operations of the facility. And so ultimately, you as commissioners have to make a decision as to whether or not the evidence that's provided to you in the course of these proceedings satisfies those requirements. And, you know, from a legal perspective, I am confident in giving you that advice as to if our requirements, if we require the company to do something that is outside of our lane, as you say, that could be legally problematic for the commission.
All right.
Does that answer your question? I know I don't.
It does.
Okay.
But, never assume, right? So I wanted to hear it from you. Thank you.
Zach, I thought there was strong testimony. I think it was by Charles Frey outlining the specific measures, some of the specific measures that they're including in the design for to address the surge. And I think if it would be relevant to include those as facts in the order.
I think most significantly, the relief valves was discussed at a lot of length.
Anything else on surge?
No.
I think you covered it.
All right. So I think what we'll go through each of these, and if we need to set up another, staff is working on an order, so I think they can incorporate our comments and our direction into that order, and then we can possibly take a look at that at the next time we gather, if it's far enough along. Okay, the next one on your list was Facility Response Plan, Zach.
I believe, as I recall, in the transcript has been provided to you all, as well as in the post-hearing briefing. The facility response plan is something that is required by PHMSA. The intervener has requested that it be provided. The company has indicated that they're continually evaluating that. They will evaluate it in terms of potential impact that the additional flow rate and capacity of the line will have on the facility response plan, and that will be completed. It's my understanding in reviewing the federal requirements that that's to be provided within 30 days of the facility becoming operational. So that is something that the company has to do. It's going to be done. The adequacy of it would not be a jurisdictional question for the commission to determine. The adequacy of it would be a question for the federal agency that is charged with requiring that and reviewing that.
So, Zach, on the facility response plan, there was quite a lot of discussion about this at the hearing as well. And it ties to the worst-case discharge, doesn't it, Pat? Facility response plan and the worst. How can you help me understand how much the worst-case discharge directs the facility response plan? That might be a Pat question. I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that question, and Pat, if you're aware, I mean, it's part of it. It absolutely is. It's my understanding that my recollection, the company testified that they would be evaluating the worst-case discharge, and whether or not it changes or not is to be determined. It hasn't been determined yet, but they would be reviewing that, and it's part of the analysis of the FRP.
Yes, the PHMSA regulations set forth the means for determining the worst case.
Mm-hmm.
The worst case hazard. The company has been reviewing that, and they testified to that at the hearing, and the intervener also testified about that about the worst case scenario. And we did have, the company stated that the worst-case scenario would not change because of the increased flow, and they provided that reason because it was related to the tank size, which was a greater volume than any other ways of calculating worst case, including the increased flow in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that is PHMSA standards on how to calculate that, and the company has reviewed that.
So if I want to run by my understanding of the worst case discharge and the facility response plan and see if you think I'm have come to correct conclusions on these things. So the worst case discharge calculation was performed the last time, and the company prepared for that with its facility response plan. It's at this tank farm, which is significant. More oil than could escape from that a tank farm than could escape in any single location along the line at any point. So they are required under PHMSA regulations, it's my understanding, you got to correct me if I'm wrong, to prepare for that worst case discharge from a tank farm as if it could occur any place along the line.
Correct.
So regardless of whether there's ever as much oil than exists on that tank farm, someplace else along the line, the company has to be prepared to respond to a spill of that volume throughout the line. So if today they're prepared for that for a spill of that magnitude throughout the entirety of the line in North Dakota, and that worst-case discharge doesn't change, it might with the new calculation, but The company seemed to suggest it was unlikely, if I'm remembering it correctly. They are prepared today for those volumes with their response plan.
Yes. That would be what my impression.
Okay.
And I'd also agree with that. That's my impression and interpretation of the testimony that the company provided through its expert testimony.
And so then that leads me to a couple of the requests that the tribe had in their post-hearing brief, which was really number two, which requested the hydraulic profiles for the new expansion and how it will increase operating pressures through the system. So again, my sense of that request is you want to look at where the risk is. And then the second one is, the number three in theirs, is you want to identify the mileposts and the HCAs associated with this. So where is the risk and what is near it? What are the high consequence areas near it? So that's the third one. And then the fourth one is the amount of oil that could be released, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in each of those locations. If they're required to be prepared for a release that is this worst-case scenario at a tank farm that is larger than any potential release along the rest of the line, it feels to me as if all of those issues are addressed. Number two, number three, and number four.
That's certainly the position of the company in establishing its integrity management plan, the IMP, which was testified to at the hearing as having been done and analyzed as to that. Obviously, from the other side of the coin, the intervener has questioned what was done. And again, it's a question for the commission to determine.
Are they questioning? Help me remember what they're questioning. Whether it was done effectively.
Adequately. Whether or not it addresses the safety aspects.
Yeah.
The potential for spill, the spill response. I think all of there are many different aspects that are included in that that position of the intervener.
And those are the issues that we don't oversee. The adequacy. You
know, I think that there obviously is a part of it. It's a line, though, that we have to be careful and mindful of. And as Commissioner Krosh has indicated earlier, we need to make sure that we are staying within our jurisdictional lanes for us to ask about it, for us to question about it, for us to confirm that it has been done, that it has been reviewed, and that the company has stated explicitly that it is in compliance with PHMSA requirements, which has been testified to at the hearing. That, I believe, is what our jurisdictional role is. To require something more, to require something different, is where we potentially step outside of our lane.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, requiring something more than what our statutory framework and what our legislative assembly has set forth for the jurisdiction of the commission to review, is what it is. There's a rule of law in this country. There are state, federal, local requirements, and we have a role, and our role is what we're doing here, what we've done at the hearing, what we've analyzed, and we've required the company to provide testimony on these things. We've asked a lot of questions as to the adequacy of what was done, and we've asked a lot of questions of the intervener as well as to what they believe the challenges or issues are with what has been provided to the commission in this hearing process.
Historically, we've gone through those requirements and ensured that they've been completed and the proof of the completion has been, they send us copies of those, the worst-case discharge scenario, the facility response plan, emergency response plan, all of that information. Some of that we've gotten, probably some of it needs to be updated. Help me understand if I'm missing something that in the request from the interveners that we'd be missing with those documents.
I think that the difference in what you're explaining, Commissioner, is that the intervener is requesting them to be on the forefront of it before a potential order is issued, rather than on the back end of it, which would be more of the standard of the commission.
Okay.
That's my understanding is the difference.
Okay.
I think as we continue to talk through these various issues, and I'm in a sense going to repeat what I've said already, these are very important components. They're critical components. The questions are more than fair. But so what is really important that we communicate that effectively as we go through this process, and a potential order includes documentation that these things are or have been looked at, have been reviewed by the proper agencies, and that we did our due diligence in the sense that we made sure that they were reviewed properly. And I think that's really important, because a lot of the questions arise from, Ken, from not communicating effectively, and then you have misunderstandings, because the questions are fair. I would want to know the same thing. What's the worst case scenario if a spill occurs? That is a very legitimate question to ask, and it's an important one for us to know that it's being looked at properly.
Yeah, there can be no doubt of that, Commissioner. I agree. The analysis, though, you're almost always going to have a difference of opinion as to the adequacy of one thing over the next. And, there's going to be disagreement on that. There's disagreement on the pipeline's existence in of itself. And so that's the broad dispute, but we have to narrow that dispute. We have to narrow it to the application seeking an amendment to the original order that was granted for the implementation, operation, construction of this line in North Dakota. And we're looking at the pump station. We're looking at the impacts that the pump station has under our statutory framework. And the pump station has, in of itself, looking at the pump station and evaluating it that way is being done. But then also, I think what the commission has been doing and has been asking a lot of questions on, and we heard a lot of at the hearing, is what impact does the effect of the potential construction of a pump station that would increase the flow of the crude in the pipeline, effectively doubling the capacity of the pipeline, or the pipeline rather, and would that increase in capacity have an impact on the rest of the line as a result? And so we've done the analysis on the line, we've done the that part is finished. The relief valves, I think it was the last company witness, Gottfried, that testified that he was, and I'm paraphrasing here, so I'm not quoting him directly, but surprised at the amount of automatic shutoff valves on the existing line. And you have to remember that on each side of every water crossing that we have automatic shutoff valves on each side of that. That is not changing here. The surge relief valves that we're talking about that Commissioner Crispin mentioned are specifically designed at the pump station in the event of an issue at the pump station that would automatically cut into effect. So we're talking, in addition to the existing safety protocols that have already been implemented by the company, we're also talking about at the pump station additional safety measures that PHMSA may not actually require, but are being done in this case.
Mm-hmm. So the facility response plan updated is due 30 days after operation, within 30 days?
That's my understanding, yes.
Of operating at the higher
right
level.
And changes in the system, right. Thank you, Pat. And
say that again, Pat.
Changes in the system. And I mean, effectively, any change in the system, pump station would have a change in the Simpson. So effectively within the operation. So, I mean, in effect, it's the language is that Pat indicated is more accurate than what I had indicated, that the change in the situation of the line itself within 30 days. And that's a requirement that PHMSA has, that has to be complied with by the company. And they've indicated that they would comply with it and will comply with it.
All right. Just thought it might bear mentioning, too, that a practice we started maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and maybe it was longer than that, but there was a gap of time when we first started where we weren't doing this, but we, because PHMSA has all of these responsibilities within our state, we at least once a year sit down with the PHMSA folks and talk through what they're finding and what they view as the status of the system in North Dakota, not that we have any control over it, but just so that we're informed about how many employees they have here, how many, you know, how often they're getting out and about. And if we see issues where they're having a hard time filling spots or that sort of thing, we do engage on the higher levels of PHMSA and say, we're concerned about this. You need to get these vacancies filled in our state. And so there's a good give and take that we have with the PHMSA people who are in our state overseeing these lines and at least keeping informed about what they're finding and any issues that they might see, which they haven't had any.
And I think, to just add to that, to their credit, they have been responsive in those meetings. It's not just something that they do because they kind of feel obligated and they just kind of sit here and blow it off. But I felt they've been pretty responsive and interested in our concerns.
Yeah, and we've gone through even very specific issues on certain lines, you know, and locations and key areas like Devil's Lake or, you know, just, yeah, they've been very productive meetings. All right, the next issue, HCA's hydraulic profiling. We maybe have talked about those, but anything else, Zach?
I don't have anything else specifically. If there's a specific question, I can certainly try to answer. Pat can try to answer.
I feel like the HCA's, the high consequence areas, relate back to worst case discharge, the planning that that is required by the company to prepare for a leak, and how they respond to those areas. It might relate somewhat to the integrity management plan too. So, what should we be thinking more about there, Pat?
Well, the high consequence areas do relate to the integrity management plan as well. And, the regulations, again, PHMSA regulations require that they identify the high consequence areas and determine whether the management of the integrity of the pipeline, what is needed related to the integrity of the pipeline and the management of that integrity related to high consequence areas. And so they have to, I don't know that we had any testimony that the high consequence areas have changed. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that they've changed from the time that they did the integrity management plan for the pipeline. And so the integrity management plan will be updated because of the, I think because of the addition of the pump station, but the other factors in the integrity management plan may not change at all.
Can you give some examples of high consequence areas? Because it's a pretty narrow group of locations, isn't it?
It is, and they're not very forthright in divulging those, but I think that definitely, yeah. I mean, the company has to identify them, and I don't know that we have a list of them, but certainly Lake Oahe would be one of those areas.
What would we do with a list of high consequence areas?
Again, this is not, you know, it is incumbent on the company to identify them to develop this integrity management plan, and that is a PHMSA requirement. And we don't have a program for intrastate hazardous liquids pipeline safety, let alone interstate. We don't, and that's totally PHMSA's jurisdiction. And the requirements of the integrity management plan are spelled out in Part 195, 4 or 5.
Okay. Can you refresh my memory of the status of the integrity management plan as it relates to the, you know, upgraded project expansion?
I don't recall.
Because I didn't take the time to dig it out specifically from
That's something maybe, Commissioner, we can follow up and get back to you on, because I can't sit here and say that I think I have the answer in my head, but I don't want to say something that I'm not confident on telling you.
I'm circling that one. All right. The interveners requested an up-to-date and DABLA-specific integrity management plan that complies with PHMSA regulations and industry standards. Wouldn't that be required by our...
Yes.
I mean, don't we always include that in our permitting requirements?
It's a PHMSA requirement already, and the company has to do it.
I guess in the other siting cases, more recently, we have been asking for all the plans to be filed with us.
Yeah.
So that we know that they have them.
Yeah. I thought so.
After the order is issued.
After the order. Well, no, before, to determine the application is complete. We've been asking for them.
Okay.
But that's been a more recent.
All right. So we can just check on the status of that IMP. You guys have anything on integrity management?
Not inconsistent with what I've already said. So not to repeat.
All right.
And I guess the company has an integrity management plan for the pipeline.
Right. Is that a document that is constantly changing, evolving, being updated?
It changes as circumstances changes related to the integrity of the pipeline. Potential changes would make changes if there was something about a corrosive atmosphere, a corrosive environment that they had discovered, or specific location where the integrity of the pipeline has changed. Maybe even a third-party damage could cause the company to revise its integrity management plan, or activity in the area of any areas of the pipeline.
I believe technological advances can also require that the plan is updated to reflect modern practices, if you will. Things change over the course of time, whether it's how pipes are inspected or viewed, so that can, I believe, can change it as well.
Even, like one of the changes even in an integrity management plan can be a frequency of inspection or frequency of surveillance.
Right.
Kind of blending some of the new things we've learned regarding aviation and the missile silos and what the Air Force has brought to us and some other types of cases lately. Are parts of the integrity management plan potentially things that would qualify for trade secret protection? Or, I mean, would there be things in there that would divulge information that would make it a convenience for vandalism or those types of things?
Short answer, yes, potentially. And it's not up for us to decide whether or not something is qualifying for a trade secret application until after an application has been made. But potentially, yes. Probably is, I would go so far as to say, probably. But we don't have any applications, so I can't say definitively. That's
okay. We've got 10 minutes and a couple more issues, so hopefully we can wrap up. Next one was the API best practices. I recall quite an extensive discussion. I intend to go back and read the transcript on this, but the interveners outlined a number of API best practices that they initially said or alleged weren't being followed. Then the company, if I remember correctly from the hearing, went through each one and described which that they were or weren't following it and why. Have you guys looked at that record, you or Pat?
I've looked at it, and it's as you described, Commissioner, and from the legal perspective of what my role is here, many aspects the company has indicated it would be complying with those. Some it's indicated that those really aren't relevant, and it's determined that it's not going to necessarily do that because it's not relevant to the issues here. Putting all that aside, however, looking at it from the legal perspective, from the Commission's standpoint, as to its authority and its jurisdiction, I would caution you to, as far as imposing or requiring any standards that would be outside of what our regulations are, mm-hmm. and also outside of what PHMSA, which is the agency that is the safety agency that has jurisdiction over these questions.
My recollection of the record or of the hearing is that there wasn't a lot of objection to what was being suggested. So some of them didn't necessarily apply. And so to the extent that our order reflects the concerns that were outlined or the requests by the intervener and the company's response to that, I think it's helpful to acknowledge that these are issues that were raised. Here's how they were addressed. And ultimately, the company's responsible for complying with the requirements under law, not the best practices, but I think that a lot of them were acknowledged as things that they were doing anyway. So, anything more?
No, again, it just underscores that we have to effectively communicate that this is a comprehensive process. It involves numerous state and federal agencies. We play a significant role, obviously, but other agencies do as well. So effective communication in terms of the process, who reviews which aspect of the application and the operation of the pipeline, I think, is extremely important in terms of how we, again, communicate that so the public has a solid understanding, the intervener has a solid understanding of what was done, and that hopefully, and you said it, regardless of how the decision would go, you're going to have people that are happy about it and people that are unhappy about it. You just can't get away from that. That's the world in which we live, but we just have to make sure that everything is within the boundaries of the law. That's the task we have before us. So, again, communication through the order and is really important, so just to continue to keep that in mind.
All right, the last list item was the worst-case discharge spill response plan, which, have we covered that?
I think we've certainly talked about it. If there's anything else, if there are any specific questions on that.
When do they have to have their updated WCD performed? Can we double-check what the company said on that?
Yeah, I'll double check. I don't know off the top of my head.
Do you remember that?
I was thinking it was part of the facility response plan, and so they would have to have that within 30 days of the operation of the pump station.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking too, but I wasn't as confident as Pat here, so we'll double check on that.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Okay, so anything more that either of you have?
I think you've done a nice job of encapsulating it and summarizing it and pretty much saying most of what needed to be said, so there wasn't that many opportunities.
Sorry.
No, that, it's meant to be a compliment. Good job. I feel like you've covered the things that we needed to talk about.
So
that.
I blabbered too much.
No, nope, nope, you just did a good job.
I wasn't shy. I got my thoughts in, so.
All right. What about Zach, Pat? What else do you think needs to be discussed? And if we've nailed it, you can say that.
Nothing is coming to mind, and you know, Pat and I will continue to work on a proposed order so that it can be circulated in advance of the next work session, and if anything were to pop up, we can identify that. But Pat may have something that I'm not thinking of.
Well, certainly we'll address the siting criteria that we typically address.
Mm-hmm.
And any mitigated measures that we're testified to.
Right. So we need to get back on the, you're going to confirm when the updated worst case discharge scenario needs to be completed, and the status of the updated integrity management plan. So you can you just report that to us? I mean, I don't necessarily want to wait till the next work session to hear that.
Yeah. As soon as we get that information, can
what we find
provide that information.
Record, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, so then I know you two are working on an order, and Pat, I think you've even sent me a draft, so I'll take a peek at that and work with you guys, and then when we get something that we like, then we can maybe call another work session and go through it. Does that work for you guys?
I've seen components.
Depending on the information requested here is largely information to be detailed in an order, but I don't see a big potential for those things really being game changers in any way. So I'm not sure we need another work session.
Okay. Just, you can get a draft of the order and decide if you want to call a work session after that, which we often do it that way, too.
Yeah, I think that's a smart way.
Okay.
Take a look at the draft, and then if there's anything significant that we need to discuss, we can do it at that time, or we can proceed without a work session as well.
And just address it in a meeting.
Right.
Okay.
I think it would be speculative until we see the order, though, to determine next steps.
All right. Very good.
Anything else?
I don't think so from my perspective. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Zach, Pat, anything else? Commissioner Christman?
Nope. Thank you, Pat.
This work session is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.